Thank you. Let's go to Revelation 22. We made it through verse 4 last time of Revelation 22. And we are continuing to look at the city of God. This is all after the kingdom, of course, after the great white throne judgment that happened in chapter 21, we see the city of God introduced. And we're still talking about that here in chapter 22. And in verse number 5, the Bible says, "There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So again, we're reminded that Jesus is the light there, and that we will reign forever and ever. And he said, verse 6, "These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." So he's starting to wind down the book. And we'll talk more about this. Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, give us your wisdom, your power as we go to your word together this morning. Lord, we want to be changed by you. We believe in the power of your word. We thank you for the privilege to be here to study it together. May the Holy Ghost now take it, meet with each one of us, and may our Savior be glorified. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. So the source of the light, as we saw in chapter 21, and again here, is the Lord. And again, we're reminded about the reigning. So that this has been mentioned two other times in Revelation, the saints reigning with the Lord. Now, let's go to chapter 5 and just be reminded about these other two times. Chapter 5, who would read verse 10 for us? Revelation 5:10. Any volunteers? Thank you, Beryl. All right, so what is the key about this one? That last phrase. On the earth. So what is that referring to? Referring to the kingdom, right? Because the kingdom is on the earth. So this is prophesying of, because remember, chapters 4 and 5 is the introduction of the 24 elders, which are representative of us, the church. The Bible says that he's prophesying that these saints will reign on the earth. Then that takes us to chapter 20, where this is fulfilled, this prophecy of the saints reigning on the earth. Who would read 4 through 6 of chapter 20? Any volunteers? Thank you, Brent.
"And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen. So in verse 4 it says thrones. And at the end of verse 6 it says reign with him 1,000 years. So again, this is the saints reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom here on earth. But now, here in chapter 22... the Bible says they shall reign forever and ever. So this is a different reigning. We're still reigning, but we're not reigning on the earth for 1,000 years. That's in the past now in chapter 22. So it looks like we continue to reign for our Lord forever. How exciting is that? Who do we reign over? Well, we talked about that last week. We don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. Either way, we'll be happy that we're with the Lord. But the Bible doesn't tell us who we're reigning over, because all of the dead were cast into the lake of fire in chapter 20. So God has it all worked out, but we're going to reign over someone for eternity, it says, with the Lord. Now it says in verse 6 that the sayings are faithful and true. This has been repeated over and over again. And it tells us who will be able to understand these things. And who would that be? He sent his angel to show unto his servants. His servants. The unsaved can't understand the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the Word of God, because the Spirit is the author and the interpreter of the Word. So if you don't have the Spirit, you can't understand the Word. But the servants of God, those that are His servants, that's us, they can understand the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. And it tells us, according to God's timetable, what is coming soon. Remember, this was written 2,000 years ago, so something's about to happen shortly. And what is that? Verse 7, I come quickly. So in God's timetable, the first thing that's going to happen is Jesus is going to come. And the first time that He comes, and we'll talk about this more when we finish Revelation and do our rapture study, but let's review these verses in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. So in your left hand, put 1 Corinthians 15, and in your right hand, put 1 Thessalonians 4. And then in your other hand, all right, so who would read 15, 51, and 52? And we'll see what's coming to pass shortly in God's timetable. Anybody read those two verses for us this morning? Thank you, Jackie. 51 and 52 of 1 Corinthians 15.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now he describes it further in 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's turn over there. Who would read 15 through 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 through 17? You volunteers? Mr. Scott, thank you.
See that none render evil for evil.
1 Thessalonians 4. No worries. That's a good verse, though. 15 through 17.
For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen. So when we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is prophesied of many times in the Old and New Testament, when he returns to the earth, right? We just read that in chapter 19 of Revelation. And he judges the nations, and he sets up a kingdom. But that's not what this is talking about. This says that we're meeting the Lord in the air, and we'll be with Him forever. This is a different event. The coming of Jesus Christ is in two pieces, which we'll study this further here in a couple weeks. First, He comes to the air and takes us out. That's why it's called the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But we just read some of the passages that talk about the rapture. That's when He's removing, just like He did Lot, when He's removing His children prior to His judgment. So He comes, He takes us out, tribulation happens, and then He returns to the earth to set up His kingdom. But first He removes His children, and in a dispensational sense, the Holy Ghost is no longer filling people the same way and sealing them, as we'll see, that everything changes. You know, when we read the 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, He who letteth now let. That word let means hold back or restrain. The Holy Spirit is holding back the devil's plan for now. But when the Lord comes to take out His saints, the Holy Ghost, in the filling, permanent indwelling sense, leaves with the church. And that restraint is removed, and now the devil can run rampant for 7 years. We'll explain all that later, but I just wanted to review, because the Bible says, I come quickly. So, this is where people get confused when they read, for example, in Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. And they read all these verses and say, okay, all this stuff's going to happen before the rapture. But that's not true. All of those things will happen before he comes to the earth. There doesn't have to be anything that happens before the rapture. If there was, then the imminency of his return would be unnecessary, right? Paul believed Jesus was going to come back before he died. And he could have, because it's imminent. But if all of those signs point to the rapture, then it's not imminent. We don't watch for Jesus, we watch for the signs. You see what happens? So people get confused and they take these signs that are pointing to the return of Jesus to the earth and they try to apply them to the rapture. Well, then the rapture is an imminent and all we have to do is watch for the signs. And you think this is the first time that people haven't thought, this is it? World War I, this is it. World War II, this is it. We're still here. Because there are no signs for the rapture. Anyway, I digress a little bit. What Jesus is saying is, I come quickly. What we're to be watching for is that trumpet. Because it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. Once that happens, then the timetable begins. Which is chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. Again, we'll look at this more later. But chapters 2 and 3 are the letters to the churches. So if we're going to take the Revelation chronologically, which we should, chapter 1 is the introductory chapter. Chapters 2 and 3 is letters to the churches, which apply to the church age. And what happens right after the church letters? First verse, come up hither. And what do we see in chapters 4 and 5? We see the church in heaven, throwing their crowns at Jesus' feet, wearing robes of righteousness, praising God for His redemption. And then chapter 6, tribulation period. So, Jesus here is reminding us to be watching for Him, because He comes quickly. And many will not be ready for His coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night. So, He tells us here in verse 7, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So that means that God primarily expects us to understand what's in this book. Otherwise, how could we keep the prophecy of the sayings? And we can. We can understand most of the Bible because we have the Bible to compare with itself and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to guide us into all truth. So, the majority of the Bible is not to be a mystery to God's children, because otherwise how could we follow it and obey it and allow it to guide our lives? And so God is reminding us that of that here in verse 7. So any questions up to there? Otherwise we'll dive into 8 and 9. Brother Steve. And you do. But what it's telling us is that the bodies will rise. So when we die, we get a temporary heavenly body. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, which we'll talk more about this when we do this separate study. We get a temporary body. Then eventually we're going to be reunited with this body in its better form. It'll be fixed up. And people say, oh, what about cremation? What about, you know, does God care about all that? You think God can't figure out where all those atoms are and bring them all back together again? God has no, He made the universe. He has no trouble doing that. So yes, when we die, we are immediately with the Lord. We know that. The Bible makes that very clear, right? 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. We see in Luke 16, the beggar died and it was Abraham's bosom. There's no resting period. There's no soul sleep. But the body gets rejoined later at the resurrection. So that's what it's telling us. Yes, they're already in heaven. But it also reminds us that there's going to be some who won't die. Right? Some will not die. Some will just meet the Lord in the air. Let's hope we're one of them. Amen? So 8 and 9. Who would read those? Anybody? Thank you, Beth.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship the Lord.
Amen. This is the fifth time that John has revealed himself as the author of this book. So there's no question who wrote the book. The Apostle John did. Interesting how the angel responded to John falling down. And every time in the Bible when this happens, this is how the angels respond. This is how the apostles responded in the book of Acts. When some heathen tried to fall down and worship them, they did the same thing. Don't do that. That's wrong. As the angel says there, worship God. It is wrong for us to worship anything but God, including angels. Which then teaches us something about Jesus, does it not? Because can you think of any time in the Scripture when somebody tried to worship Jesus and he told them not to do it or he rejected the worship? You're not going to find it. It's not in the Bible. He never rejected worship. Which means that was either blasphemy or he has to be Jehovah. Let's look at some scriptures on that. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start. Verse 10. Who would read that for us? Anybody? Beth?
Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Now this is Jesus quoting scripture to the devil, because look what the devil asked for in verse 9. What did he want? Worship. The devil wanted worship. It's what he's always wanted. He's always wanted to be worshipped as God. He will get his wish for a short time in the tribulation period. As we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, He as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The world will be worshiping the devil, but they'll think they're worshiping God. Jesus said, no, you can only worship God. Now let's go to Revelation 1. We won't look at all the scriptures, but there are so many New Testament examples of people falling down at Jesus' feet and grabbing him by the ankles and worshiping him. Never once did Jesus reject that worship. He always accepted the worship, which means he has to be God. Notice verse 17. This is John. He says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So here is when John was first given the vision of Revelation. He meets who? Who is this? How do we know that it has to be Jesus? What's that? He was dead. Who else could it be talking about? I was dead, and behold, I'm alive. So John encounters Jesus in heaven in his vision. John falls down. Fell at his feet as dead. Jesus didn't say, See thou do it not, like the angel. No, he touched him and said, Fear not. But he accepted the worship. That's the point. Same heaven, same John, but it's Jesus and not an angel. And this happened in the book of Acts a couple of times where people tried to worship the apostles and they rejected the worship. And so the angels, what do they say about themselves here in verses 8 and 9? I am thy what? Fellow servant. They see themselves as fellow servants. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister them who shall be heirs of salvation? They serve God too. In different ways, but they are God's servants. They were created, just like we were created, to serve the Lord. So they see themselves as fellow servants. And that's why he said, see thou do it not. And then the last two words, the most important words, worship God. Old Testament, New Testament, only worship God. No exceptions. Don't worship anything or anyone else in the universe but God. And that's always been God's command. Now, any thoughts about those two verses before we dive into verse 10? All right, who would read verse 10? Thank you, Beryl. So this sealing happened in the book of Daniel, remember? Where God said seal. But here he says seal not. So the seal in Daniel, nobody understood what was written until it was interpreted later in the New Testament. But here he's saying seal not. So again, I believe God is saying here that we can understand most of Revelation. And we just walked through it for a year. Most of it's pretty easy to understand when you look at it. Yeah, there's some things that are a bit complicated, some of the plagues and things like that. But for the most part, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, we can understand most Revelation. So God didn't write it and then seal it such that no one could understand it. He said, see thou, don't, he said, don't seal it. And of course, he reminds us, the time is at hand. Should the fact that the time is at hand have an impact in our lives? So what time is at hand? What's at hand? What's about to happen at any time? The rapture. Exactly. So we go right back to the imminency of the rapture. It's at hand. And it's been at hand for 2,000 years. You say, well, how could it have been at hand? That's how it works in God's program. It's always been at hand. But it could happen at any moment, and it could always have happened at any moment, but it should have an impact in our lives. Go to 1 John chapter 3. We'll see some scripture on this. Who would read 2 and 3? Of 1 John 3. Jackie, thank you.
Beloved, now I'll be the Son of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him in the world. And every man that has this hope and has purified himself, even as he is pure.
Why, if you truly believe Jesus would come back at any moment, why would that have a purifying effect in your life? If you really believed it was at hand, if you really believed the trumpet could blow at any moment, why would that purify? Any thoughts? Yeah. But we don't want to be ashamed. Right? We want to be ready. We want to be as ready as we can be so that when it does happen, we're not ashamed. Because the Bible tells us some will be ashamed at his coming. And that'll be Christians who aren't ready. They aren't living for God. They're saved, but they're not living for God. And they'll be ashamed because it's too late to undo it. You can't change it. It's done. You're with God now. You can't serve him on earth anymore. Get your new body, go to heaven, but you can't change what you did on earth. Can't undo it. So it does have a purifying effect. If we really believe it's true that Jesus could come at any moment, it will have an impact in our lives, as John said here. He that hath this hope in him, this hope of the return of Jesus Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Make sure that he's ready. Make sure that he's pure for the return of the pure one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it will have a purifying effect, and that's what Jesus is saying here, is it's at hand. Be ready, because at any moment, I could come back. The time is at hand. And then in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Just a reminder that when we die, as we were just saying, no second chances. If you die filthy, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. You're going to be forever dead in the lake of fire. If you die righteous and holy, you're going to stay righteous and holy for eternity. How can we die righteous and holy? Because we're all sinners. We have to be saved. Because when we're saved, we get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We become God's children. He declares us righteous through Christ's righteousness. So the key is we have to get that righteousness in this life, because we're not going to get a second chance, like purgatory teaches, for example. We're not going to get a second chance to change things. It's done. We either die righteous or we die unrighteous. And that seals it. All right, so next week we will start at verse 12 and maybe finish the book. We'll see.